The crowd got even bigger, and Jesus addressed them. "This is a wicked generation. It is asking for a sign. The only sign that will be given is the sign of Jonah. For just as Jonah became a sign for the Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. On Judgment Day, the Queen of the South will rise up with the men of this generation and condemn them, because she came from the end of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and there is something greater than Solomon here. On Judgment Day, the men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation and condemn it, because when Jonah preached, they repented, and there is something greater than Jonah here." Jesus gives two examples of the Old Testament passages, but they're not parallel, somewhat cryptic, we'd say, which his original hearers might have grasped, but it's harder for us to see. In fact, they're almost opposites. Jesus had been asked two kinds of questions. The first accused him of casting out devils by the power of Beelzebub. The second requested a sign from heaven. The Jews considered a sign merely in terms of a miracle. Jesus speaks of a sign as a way of salvation. What do we mean by a sign? A sign is a thing brought openly into view, contains in itself the manifestation of something hidden, says Basil. The sign of Jonah and his adventures represents the descent into hell, the ascension of Christ and his resurrection from the dead. Hence, for as Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites, so also shall the Son of Man be to this generation. The Jews were given a sign not from heaven, as they were unworthy for such a sign, but from the depth, a sign of his incarnation, not his divinity, of his passion, not his glorification. It is a declaration of mercy as well as a warning, such a warning as the people of Nineveh received. But they, regarded as barbarians, repented, did penance, and were forgiven. Therefore, the Jews would not have despaired of being pardoned if only they had repented. The Jews had received the prophetic word, the divine word, but rejected him. They were given the greatest privilege, which they rejected, and to show their condemnation was more complete. On the other hand, here we have the Queen of the South, a barbarian, travelling many miles to hear the wisdom of Solomon, searching for the truth, the antithesis of Jonah. Jonah had taken the word to the heathen people of Nineveh. The Queen of the South travelled a great distance to find it. Here present among the Jews was somebody with the greatest knowledge of invisible things, wisdom herself teaching them of heavenly things, confirming this knowledge with signs and wonders. But they senselessly rejected these truths. The Jews rejected Christ. They expected great miracles, but they had already begun the truth and did not accept it. The Gentiles, those in darkness when Christ came, were obedient and they believed. Just as Jonah had been assigned to the Ninevites, Jesus was assigned to the Jews, but they failed to recognize him in the form of a lowly carpenter. Jonas came to preach the gospel, the Queen of the South to hear it from a reluctant preacher, Solomon. Yet both received what God wanted to give them, in spite of the weaknesses of the messenger or preacher, which no doubt is a comfort to we Dominicans. Here we have a picture or expression of the mystery of the church, which is the Queen of the South rising from different nations into one body, gathered together to hear the words of Solomon or wisdom. On the day of judgment, these people would rise up and condemn the Jews of this time. Why? Because they rejected the truth in spite of their great privileges and their frequent opportunities. How do we react to these verses today? Jesus never worked miracles for their own sake or just to impress. People love the spectacular, but are not changed by it. invariably wanting more and more to be impressed or thrilled. This very large group that Jesus was addressing had already heard Simeon's prophecy, Luke 2:35, which had been rejected by nearly all. He is rejected these days not only by the Jews, but by a multitude of other people. True blessedness consists of hearing God's word and putting it into practice. But where can we hear that word today? Many leaders of nations these so-called post-Christian days appear to have rejected the word of God, not just by not listening, but actually fighting against it. For example, when new laws and even the new language preach against the word and against most of his teaching, changing the laws of the country to achieve this. They are not asking for a sign as did the Jews, but are actually fighting against his teaching. For example, the intention of removing the words man and woman from the marriage ceremony may not be as sinful as legalizing abortion. For our blessed Lord asks the children to be brought to him, not murdered because of the inconvenience of their existence. Listening to God's word is not only a privilege, but a necessity for the welfare of the whole universe. However, with privilege comes responsibility. They go hand in hand. Today, anybody can own a Bible. They are freely available. There was a time in this country when it meant death if one was found with this book. There is no book which has been loved more and hated more, and about which there has been more suffering often in this country where the laws are based on Christianity. Just a classic, everybody has heard of it, but many do not bother to read it. And yet, it gives the answers to all our questions as to how we should lead our lives and live in happiness with our neighbour. The possessing of this book is a privilege beyond every other possession. The way to follow Christ is here in this book, and if we recognise this privilege and take our responsibility seriously, if we follow the signposts given here, then we shall reach our heavenly home. Whether we listen to his word as the Ninevites or search for it as did the Queen of the South, finding it, we can then go home rejoicing.